we appreciate that there's more information than really can be digested, so bear with us. And I'm incredibly impressed with the turnout. I thank you guys very much for being here. Essentially, the estimates he's looking at, they're just estimates. They asked their agent, Burnham, to tell us how much we will save. And they tried to figure in all of the costs that they would have to pay that would otherwise come out of the savings to get to the whatever the number was, which got to the 12.4. But they're really just estimates, and they aren't necessarily a promise that they'll do it. It just says, we estimate this will be the cost. So what they have said at this point, we don't have it on paper, and we're really not anxious to get it on paper, would be that everybody who has currently A and B, they'll pay for it. And they'll pay for the penalty. The district. And they're also saying they'll pay for, if you're a high income earner, if you make over $170,000, there's a penalty. If you make over $230,000 or something, there's another penalty. They have no idea how many people are in that place, so those are steep penalties. And if you have somebody who's 90, who got A but never got B, and there's a lot of us who said, you know, why would I pay for B? Because the combination of A hospital and what the district offers me is really good coverage. I don't want to pay that extra $1,700 a year for what I think I'm going to get out of it. So they have no idea how many penalties are out there. I've got a 10-year penalty because I thought you had to be to 65 before you could even apply, and I only had 12 quarters, so I kind of leached it off my wife, and the result is I was 10 years down the line past 65 when I did that. The result is I got a 10-year penalty on that. It's twice the cost because every year is a 10% penalty. They have no idea what that is. So anyway, what they're promising now is if you have A and B, they'll pay for it. And they'll pay for the penalty, and they'll pay for the higher end. They've said that, and that's in the wind. They also have said that if you have A, they'll pay for B, and they'll pay for whatever penalties go along with that. So that essentially is their way of saying, we take care of all of you by pushing you into Medicare, and that will be your future. And that's 100% coverage. How can you be unhappy with that? That you're going to get 80% from Medicare, and you're going to get the other 20% from the supplement. That's better than what you have now, so you don't have a case. What are you complaining about? Well, some of us do. The sheet that I passed out with the numbers, there's 102 people who don't have eligibility for Medicare. They're saying clearly on Renee's thing, no, we're not paying Medicare for them. That's going to be another million too. So you're going to be on the basic plan. We know from what Marta's going to say, the basic plan is not nearly as good as the Medicare supplement plan. So therefore, they're dividing our group and saying, you all have exactly the same contract language. If you're in the settlement, you have exactly the same settlement language, but we don't have to treat you the same. We can put some of you under Medicare. We can keep others of you who don't qualify under the basic plan, and that's okay. Well, that's unequal treatment. That seems to be contrary to the law to be able to go there. Paulette?
Not guaranteeing how long they'll pay it.
Yeah. Everything that we're talking about and everything they've said is 3 years. They didn't put it too long term. They owe us our benefits, those of us who have lifetime benefits. They're going to have to do it the rest of their life. But they're not promising any of this, which is still not on paper, more than 3 years. What they've also made it clear is that they're going to CalPERS because CalPERS is the only pool among all of them that'll let us in. And the only way you can get in to CalPERS is everybody who's eligible for Medicare has it. And so the assumption is they herd us all in there within a year, and CalPERS will take us. The chancellor's already told us, okay, if we can use this device to get you into to CalPERS, and the price for that is for all of you who are eligible to have Medicare, then now the world's open. We can get into all those other pools. So this is just kind of a stalking horse, potentially, for 3 years, to maybe even go to a cheaper plan. Because right now they don't have access to do that. So our block is potentially to say, hey, no, we didn't have to have Medicare, so therefore you can't force us to have it. It's nowhere in any agreement you have. and you can't treat us differently from each other. But the thing we have to figure out among ourselves in the legal committee is we want the same plan as the actives have, because that's what we're promised, but we don't want it because it's inferior to the one they're offering us. That's an interesting argument to make. We don't want the basic plan that they're at. We want to stop them from going there at all. So essentially, there's an awful lot of stuff here to sort of negotiate, if you will. The second thing that you, one of the other sheets you got out here, says the Chancellor's name at the top. This is the proposal he gave us. I can't remember whether it's the same thing he gave us in July, in the middle of July when he first met, or it's what he gave us on the 25th of September. But the two pages kind of spell out part of what we said and what they want to do with the money and the rationale essentially for going there. And that's what it says at the top. This is the rationale. These are our values. This is what's driving you. And the second page goes down and covers essentially, you know, what they're willing to pay for. Then he recognizes that what he's given us isn't as good as what we have. So for a temporary time, we might put a little more money out there and give you some access to make up for the gaps in terms of your medical coverage and your prescription coverage that's not as good as what you're getting. And maybe we'll put up another little pile of money for a short time to supplement that as well. Well, where they get those figures, I don't know, but they put that out there. There's 48 couples among us who have dual coverage, meaning both spouses, both sides of the relationship worked for the district and retired from the district, and so therefore they get two independent plans. That's pretty cool, because it means that whatever your plan didn't pay for, 20%, the other plan pays for. So those 48 couples virtually don't pay anything. Pretty good situation. That CalPERS doesn't have that option. There's no coordination of benefits. You lose whatever that was. So 48 couples are going to lose access to that option or that opportunity. So basically, I'd like to have you read this fairly closely. At the end, the Chancellor just kind of makes it, in terms of one of his answers to the last page, is two questions that Renee asked, both very telling questions. How is it that, the first one, that we're not entitled to the same plan that actives have when everything says we are? And he provides an answer to that, because we're giving you something we think is better, which we don't think is. And the second one is, how is it that you think you can force us onto Medicare when there's nothing in any of our agreements that says Medicare is what we're going to have for Tier 1 people? And at the end, he just says, well, we're just going to sit down with all of you, and we recognize that when this was agreed to, the situation was different. It doesn't work for us anymore, so we're going to change it. Well, there's two sides to that argument. This went to court. It's not just something we kind of both signed on to. It's there. So the feeling is that kind of real flippantly, we can change that. And our lawyers have told us we can change that. And we don't think that's true. But they seem to have bought that. But it's a real kind of casual, laissez-faire attitude. What we agreed to in the past is really not binding. And the confrontation we made with that probably in October at one of the meetings is saying, okay, if none of the 13 contracts language is binding, times two, which is 26 times it got written in contracts, if the settlement language is not binding, then on what basis would we ever trust any other word you ever gave us on any piece of paper that is binding? Right now, the most you're saying is anything's worth it 3 years, and Renee just said that doesn't look like it's binding, according to CalPERS. So there's no basis whatever, as far as I can see, to sit down with them and negotiate and say, you're going to stand behind any of this? Because you already shot your credibility.